All right, we'll read Revelation 2, verse 8 to 11. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna write, "These things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life." Amen. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Können gerne noch ein paar Gebete haben.
Yeah, let's have some more prayers. Amen. Yeah. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Lord, we trust in you.
Amen. Herr, wir danken dir für dein
Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, appear to us in this fellowship. Thank you that you are a God who speaks directly to us. And we want to receive this direct speaking from you tonight. Speak to your churches. Speak to all the golden lampstands. We praise you that you want to fill us with oil, fresh oil tonight. You are the high priest. Supply us with your riches. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for your word. So good to have fellowship concerning the word. And I think the fellowship about Ephesus this morning touched us to see that we shouldn't just hear the word, but really repent and turn back to the Lord. It's the most terrible if we just stay as we are. And that there would be no change and the Lord would come back and we would be put to shame. So I thank the Lord that he speaks to us directly, that he has clear and direct speaking for us, that we would still have the opportunity to repent and to let ourselves be corrected by the Lord. Praise the Lord for this, that he still has given us a time of grace. I'm really thankful to him for this. And tonight, we want to continue to have fellowship about the second epistle, namely to the church in Smyrna.
Amen. Hast du ein Outline irgendwo? Sorry, Outline. Danke. Amen. Amen. Doch, wie wir schon in der ersten Versammlung gehört haben.
As we heard in the first meeting. I really treasure the epistle to the church in Smyrna. Why? Because it's so short. There are only 4 verses. Praise the Lord. The Lord didn't have more to say to the church in Smyrna. And the wonderful thing is that in these 4 verses, that in each of these 4 verses, they only have one topic, one point. There's just one burden in every verse, and that's the suffering. In each verse, there's suffering. In this short epistle, it's all about suffering. And suffering is a very important portion or portion of the church life. today. Maybe we want to have a lot of enjoyment of the Lord. And we only want to enjoy him from the tree of life. And in Ephesus, we see that the tree of life is in the midst of the paradise of God. That's where we like to be, and that's good. We need to enjoy the Lord and eat him. But the second church shows us that there's another part, another element or component with which we have to, consider, because without it, the church won't go on. And this is the suffering. And this may not be the most popular topic, but we see this in the entire scripture. And the church in Smyrna, in the name itself, shows us that it's about suffering, because Smyrna has the meaning of myrrh, and it was used for him when the Lord was buried, and when he was on the cross, they also gave him wine mixed with myrrh. And so this shows us that it's about suffering here. And in the first verse, the Lord has already given us a picture. In his way, as a man, he went through so many sufferings, even unto death. Philippians 2 says, he was obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. This is the one who is the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. The Lord as our example. Yeah, in his humanity, he had to be perfected through sufferings. He couldn't be perfected without suffering. Even the Lord, even though he had nothing to do with sin, and he never sinned, in his humanity, it was not, yeah, he could not be perfected without suffering. Let's read Hebrews 5. In verse 7, it says, who in the days of his flesh, and this chapter 5 talks about him as the high priest. He is the one who is walking in the midst of the golden lampstands. He is the priest according to the order of Melchizedek, which we see in Hebrews 5:6. And in verse 7, it says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him, who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Though he was a son, we have to see this. Though he was a son, he wasn't an exception. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he enjoyed. What did he learn? Or how did he learn obedience? He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. So maybe we would ask ourselves, the Lord as Jesus, as the Son of God, why did he have to learn obedience? Well, this shows us that in order for humanity to be brought to perfection, for God's plan to be fulfilled, suffering is required. Verse 9, it says, and having been perfected. So the Lord himself went through so much suffering to be perfected in his humanity. Many of the Psalms speak about this, speak about how much suffering the Lord had to go through. Even Psalm 22 describes the suffering of the Lord on the cross in much detail, and showed what the Lord had to go through. And today, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So the Lord was the first one who in the new covenant, in our time, who was perfected through sufferings. And if we go back to Revelation 2, after the Lord presents himself as the first and the last, and as the one who is dead and came to life, then he says to the church, I know your works. After the Lord was perfected through sufferings, it's our turn. Now the Lord says, I know your tribulation, namely the tribulation of the church. This shows us that the Lord has given us this way, but we follow him on the exact same way. He says, I know your tribulation and your poverty. And we see this in the Holy Scriptures. All the prophets who prophesied for the Lord, they suffered. There's no prophet who didn't suffer for God. Which one of the prophets was not persecuted? With the prophets, there were only two options when they spoke the word of God. Either they were persecuted and killed, or their word was accepted. And people followed the Lord. There was no other reaction. It was either one of the two. And this led to the fact that many of the prophets were killed. And Stephen, in his speech, also said, which one of the prophets did you not persecute? And this was even before the Lord himself came. And as the Lord came, and when he came, right at the beginning, he told his disciples in Acts how they can enter into the kingdom. We can read this also in Acts 14. In Acts 14, verse 22, we see strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. Wonderful. It's a wonderful encouragement. If someone encourages us to continue in the faith, we're very happy about this. And we say, yeah, amen. I gladly will continue in the faith. But that wasn't the end. It continues, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Really? Is that how we enter the kingdom of God? Through many tribulations?
Oh, Herr.
O Lord, just like he spoke to the church in Smyrna, I know your tribulation. That's how the disciples also had to learn this lesson. Peter said the same thing. In 1 Peter 4, I'll read verse 1. 1 Peter 4, verse 1, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. With the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Amen. Are you armed with this mind? Maybe when we come to the church, we're so happy and we rejoice that we have found Zion, and it is wonderful. Praise the Lord for this. Praise the Lord for Zion on this earth. But I want to encourage all of us tonight, all of us who are in Zion, that we would also arm ourselves with the same mind. And this mind was that Christ suffered in the flesh. You only arm yourself with something if you know that as soon as you go out, something you will encounter something. Otherwise, you won't need an armor. If I put my daughter to eat breakfast, I need to arm her with a bib because I know what's coming. So I have to consciously arm myself with the mind of the Lord because there's no other way to enter into the kingdom of God, because there's no other way to enter into the kingdom aside from tribulation. Not only Paul had this, said this, but Paul as well, as he spoke to the church in Corinth. At that time, there were likely many different apostles in the church, and they went there and then they left and they spoke something similar to Ephesus. They also had apostles. But it came to a point in time where Paul had to defend his service and ministry as an apostle, and he had to prove why he was an apostle of Christ, and they wanted proof from him, evidence. They wanted evidence that Paul really was a servant of Christ, an apostle of Christ. And so they asked for a justification. And what was his first point in this justification? That he was really an apostle of Christ? Let's turn to this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Starting from verse 23, the heading for this section is the justification of his ministry. What's the first point? Does someone have the title, the heading? Was it his ability to speak well? Did Paul say, I can speak so well, and that's why I am an apostle? My work is so great, that's why I'm an apostle? Was that his justification? His defense? The first point here is a lot of tribulation, a lot of suffering. And in the rest of this chapter, he talks about so many sufferings that he went through. You can read through it starting from verse 23. In labors more abundant, as all other apostles. In prisons more frequently, in stripes above measure, in deaths often. From the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. And it goes on. This is what he used as justification to show them that he was truly a minister of Christ. I don't think this is in our concept, that this is the first point from his justification. And in Philippians, it's the same. He confirms this. And if we consider the Lord and consider our own lives, we gladly receive a gift. If we come home and someone wants to give us a gift, we say, oh, thanks. We gladly take it. But let's see what kind of gift we have received. In Philippians 1:29, it says, For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him. That's the first gift. Do we gladly accept this gift? To believe in Christ? It's a wonderful gift. I think all of us who are here tonight, I think we all thank the Lord for this wonderful gift. Praise the Lord. But is this the only gift that we have received? The only thing we have been granted? It says not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. But also to suffer for his sake. I'm not sure if this is in our concept. In my concept, it's not very anchored in my concept, but I'm learning. It's even a gift. It's been granted to us on behalf of Christ. to suffer for his sake. This belongs to it. It's part of our Christian and church life. Lord Jesus, but Paul wasn't completely distraught by this or devastated by this. In chapter 2:2, it says, fulfill my joy. How is this possible? He had so much joy in all the sufferings that he went through because he looked to the Lord. And in Philippians 2, starting from verse 5, he describes the mind of Christ. And this mind of Christ was a mind that was obedient to unto death, the death on the cross. And let this mind be in us. We need to arm ourselves with this mind. So we've seen that the prophets, the apostles, the disciples, all of them had this understanding. Even James says this, that we should rejoice when we fall into various trials. But what about us today? Is it different for us today? I have to say about myself, I don't really like to suffer. If there's anything where I realize, something's coming at me, then I will try to make a big detour around it. The bigger the detour, the better. I would much rather hide myself somewhere and never come back out. I think a lot of us are like this. Suffering is not very comfortable. Even small things. In small things, I'm not ready just to suffer a little bit for the Lord. In the church life, aren't there many opportunities to suffer for his sake? Just a little bit? If someone criticizes us a little bit or exhorts us, can we accept this and suffer a little bit? Or do we have many explanations, many reactions, and a lot of dissatisfaction inwardly? And it's so difficult for us to accept anything. And these are just small things. It's not even about big things. Of course, big things concerning the truth, it's another matter. But there are often so many little things, differences of opinion. Yeah, where we're hardly ready to suffer and willing to suffer. And we explode like a volcano instead. And we justify ourselves instead. Why we for sure are right. And I have to prove to everybody that I am right. And I call people, I text to people, and I'm simply not willing to take the gift from the Lord and say, amen, I accept it for your sake, for the kingdom's sake, for the oneness sake, especially when it's about little things. I'm not talking about the truth. Matters concerning the truth. But there's so many things that can preoccupy us for so many days and nights, and we can't get rid of them. It's so hard for us to suffer, and then we end up complaining. We complain about our situation, about this brother, about this situation. And what remains at the end is just a very face full of complaining. Have you ever seen such an expression? Do you know what the best medicine is for complaining nature? Timo?
Echte Myrrhe.
Myrrhe. Amen.
Real suffering. Myrrh. In German, the word for complaining and for myrrh sound very similar. So myrrh is the solution for our complaining and our murmuring. So if I realize that I am hard in my heart and that I have my own opinion and I start to complain, then I need to come to the Lord to gain myrrh from him. In Song of Songs, it even says that his lips are myrrh drips from his lips. We can come to the Lord and he gives us some of his myrrh and makes us one with his death. And then we are ready to suffer for his sake. It is so good to experience the death of the Lord, not just one time at our baptism. Of course, at the time of our baptism, we are baptized into his death. The Lord, at the very beginning, through baptism, gave us this consciousness that we need to remain in this death. Yeah, at our baptism, he has already laid this foundation. But what about after our baptism? Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, 31. Paul says here, I affirm by the boasting in you, which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I enjoy the Lord daily. Is that what it says? What does 1 Corinthians 31 say? It says, I die daily. What? Daily? Can a Christian die multiple times? I die daily. This is a very healthy attitude. If someone annoys me or offends me or does something that it really gets to me, then I need to have this word written into my mind. I die daily. And in Romans 8:36, it's something else is written. If daily is not enough, in Romans 8:36, it says, as it is written, and this is a quotation from Psalm 44, for your sake we are killed all day long. So, first daily, and then all day long. We are slaughtered. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Wow. The Lord had this awareness, this consciousness, or he worked this consciousness into Paul. And that's why the Lord also says to the church in Smyrna, let's go back to the epistle in Revelation 2. We had verse 9, I know your works, tribulation and poverty. And then in verse 10, it says, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested. Yeah, today, in the part of the world in which we are living, no one will throw us into prison because we follow the Lord. Today, there's not yet this opportunity to die for him physically, but there are innumerable, countless, wonderful opportunities to experience the death of the Lord in our daily life, in our families, in the church life, in our homes. This is where the Lord wants us to experience him and experience his death. He says, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death. Why does the Lord say this? Be faithful until death. Because there are so many who give up because of suffering. Yeah, if there's so many different attacks that come to them from their family, from their relatives, from their employers, from their own families, and they get frustrated, they could not bear it anymore and went away. That's why the Lord says, be faithful until death.
Oh, Herr Jesus, es ist so gut, dass wir solch eine Gesinnung haben.
Yeah, it is so good to have this mind.
Aber das Wunderbare ist hier,
but the most wonderful part about this is that it's not our own suffering that we just clench our teeth and we, yeah, go through with gnashing of our teeth, but it's the suffering of Christ. Let us read Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 24.
Ein guter Anfang eigentlich.
It's a good beginning here. I now rejoice. I rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. It's sufferings for the saints. Not just any type of sufferings, but they are the afflictions of Christ. If it's not the afflictions of Christ, if we don't suffer through Christ, we won't be able to bear it for long. To the church in Smyrna, he says, you'll have tribulation 10 days. But if it's not the suffering of Christ that we lay hold of, then I don't know if we can even bear it for 10 days, 5 days, or even 1 day. Oh Lord, but in all of these sufferings and difficulties and afflictions, it is so good to look away unto Jesus, to turn our view to him, and not to try to go through with our own strength, but we set our eyes upon the one who has already gone through all of this. As it says in Hebrews 12, it's a very well-known verse, but it's wonderful in this context. Hebrews 12, 2, looking unto Jesus. This is the right perspective that we need to have in every tribulation, every trial. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Exactly, this is how he presents himself to the church in Smyrna. He is the first and the last. He is the author and he is also the finisher. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. This was the way. This was the way for him to endure the cross and all the sufferings. He saw the joy and the glory that was set before him. And I think this is a wonderful exercise for us, not to look at the situation, not to look at the situation of suffering, but to look at the joy that is set before us, at the glory that is to come. Despising the shame and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. How wonderful.
Amen, Herr Jesus.
Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. And Peter also encouraged us. He showed us what this short time of suffering is good for. In 1 Peter 5:10, he says, May the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. This is what we have been called for. We all want to enter into this glory. Do you not want to enter into his glory, the glory to which you have been called? For sure, that's our goal. That's why we're here. We want to have a portion in the coming kingdom. It says, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. It says, after you have suffered a while, a short amount of time, 10 days, it's not that long. There's also an end to the suffering. But we have to look away unto him. Yeah, after you have suffered a while, what's the result? Perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Is it not worth it to suffer a little bit for the Lord? To let go of our own opinion and lay it aside? To bear the saints? To not justify yourself so much and react out of yourself and to murmur and complain? It's much better that the Lord would perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us. And the wonderful result is, it's something that he also spoke to the church in Smyrna. It's what he also said to them in Revelation 2. It says, you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Amen. Don't you also want to receive a crown of life? Sure. We all want to rule with him in the coming kingdom. This is our goal. We don't want to be cast down in outer darkness. We want to sit with the Lord on the throne. We don't want to suffer and be hurt by the second death. No, we want the crown of life. And this is the promise of the Lord to the church in Smyrna that shows this suffering and going through the sufferings of Christ gives us the crown of life. 2 Timothy 2:12. Here it says, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. And other translations say, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Do you want to reign with him? No one?
Ihr wisst schon, was die zweite Frage ist, deswegen sagt keiner.
I think you all know what the second question is. That's why no one says that they want to reign with him. Because it says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. What a wonderful, glorious focus. If in these days we don't just enjoy the Lord and experience him in various aspects, but we consciously arm ourselves with this mind to suffer so that we will also receive the crown of life. And then we will not be hurt by the second death when the Lord comes. So let us be encouraged and look away unto Jesus.